Welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You're a student in this school, if you'll pay attention to the things we're talking about here. And we are now ready for class session 605. And we're so glad you could be with us this morning. What we're going to do in this class is have our special feature, and that is in which I read from the Rockcliffe Review, the bulletin that is passed out on Sundays at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And in that bulletin, I contain articles that are associated with the things that I preach there on that Sunday morning. And in this particular bulletin article, we're talking about unbiblical faith. Now, I think you'll understand as you listen what we're talking about. I'm going to talk about four kinds of unbiblical faith. Now, here's the article. When it comes to words, meaning is derived from usage. We think of dictionaries and lexicons as authorities on the meaning of words. Well, they are, but they're not the final authority. Usage in a context is the final authority. It is better to think of dictionaries as works that show us how words are commonly used. Words are used in various ways. That is why there are multiple entries under most words in a dictionary. Also, words are used differently over time. Lexicographers update dictionaries because they're trying to keep up with usage. Faith is a word that is used in various ways. Some of these uses are biblical, but some are not. I'm of the opinion that one of the things that feeds skepticism about Christianity is the unbiblical uses of the word faith. An example of an unbiblical faith is what I'm going to call agnostic faith. That might seem a contradiction of terms, but agnostic means not knowing. And those with an agnostic faith are those who say faith is believing something you cannot know to be true, or stated another way, believing something you cannot prove. They tell us that knowledge will only take us so far. And when you come to the end of knowledge, you must take a leap of faith. That is not a Bible teaching. Bible faith is a way of knowing. It is not knowing by observation or experience. Biblical faith is a way of knowing what you have read and heard. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. And by hearing, we can know. In writing about our confidence, Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight, 1 Corinthians 5:7. He's not saying we walk by faith and not by knowledge, but that we walk by the knowledge we have through hearing, rather than the knowledge we have through experience. In John 8, in verse 32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. The truth that we can know by faith is a truth that we can know with confidence. Another kind of unbiblical faith is what I will call irrational faith. People say things like, I do not know how we're going to do this. We're just going to step out on faith. This often has to do with money. I've heard preachers on radio and television say, this is a faith ministry. Then they tell you how you can send them your money. Well, that kind of unbiblical faith is little more than wishful thinking. It's like a fairy tale faith that's popular in Hollywood with some of the movies. They'll tell you that if you'll only believe hard enough, then we can make it so. Truth is the truth, believe it or not. Believing will not make truth false. Neither will it make that which is false to be true. Biblical faith is believing the truth. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12 tells of those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Strong faith in a lie will not make the lie to be the truth. Another kind of unbiblical faith is what I will call subjective faith. I mean by that, it is a faith that is based on what people feel in their hearts. I've heard those with this kind of faith say, I would not trade what I feel in my heart for a stack of Bibles head high, and then have held up their hands to show how high that is. Feeling based on faith is biblical. But faith based on feelings is an uncertain faith. And those who have such faith are uncertain people. They proclaim their confidence boldly, hoping that such proclamations will make it sure, but it does not work. Feelings come, and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Another kind of unbiblical faith is what I'll call Calvinistic faith. In Calvinistic teaching, faith is supernatural. Calvinists tell us that a man is, by inherent nature, totally depraved. He can do no good. He cannot understand the Bible, and he cannot believe until he received a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the heart. It is at this point that he receives an assurance of salvation as a gift of God. To a Calvinist, this supernatural and divinely given assurance in the heart is faith. A popular proof text for this kind of faith is Ephesians 2 and verse 8. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Calvinists say the antecedent of the word it is faith, and therefore, saving faith is a gift from God. Those who study the Greek grammar tell us that the antecedent of it is not faith, but the salvation process. As the word grace includes all God has done for our salvation, so also the word faith includes all man does in response to God's grace. As a result, salvation is a gift from God. God does not give us an unbiblical faith. I hope to follow this article showing the various Bible usages of the word faith. And that's what I plan to do in our next special feature, which will begin on the Monday when this program begins, next week. And so be watching or be listening for an article about biblical faith. Now, I read from the Rock Cliff Review because I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher and at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now we're going to return to the regular lessons that we're going over in this Bible school, and we're looking now at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 25th, 1924. And the Sunday school lesson is about Jeremiah. And we're reading about a time in which Jeremiah was arrested for preaching the truth. We read from Elam's notes that when Jeremiah had spoken all that Jehovah had commanded him to speak at this time, the priests, the prophets, and the people arrested him and said to him, "Thou shalt surely die." Their intention was to have him killed. Jeremiah's courage, faithfulness, and whole character are admirable. He never flinched and never ceased his warnings until he had declared the whole words of God. He reminds us of Paul. Paul at no time shrank from declaring the whole counsel of God, at no time kept back anything that was profitable to the church, but admonished everyone night and day with tears, and at no time held his life on any account as dear to himself. Paul gives answer to himself in Acts 20, verses 18 through 38. Paul's one purpose was as the purpose of Jeremiah, and that was to save the people. Let me read to you about Paul in Acts 20, verses 18, beginning, and then we'll go on and read to the end of the chapter. It says, Paul, when they'd come to him, he said to them, now this is Acts 20, 18, ye yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia what manner I was among you all the time, serving the Lord with all lowliness of mind, and with tears, and with trials which befell me by the plots of the Jews, how I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and the Greeks repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit testifieth unto me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But I hold not my life of any account dear unto myself, so that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed to yourselves, and all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish every one night and day with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spoken, that they should behold his face no more. And they brought him on his way to the ship. So Paul had that same spirit in him as did Jeremiah, and the purpose was to proclaim God's word faithfully and save the people. Now back to Elam's notes. Why did the priest, prophets, and the people threaten Jeremiah's life and seek to kill him when he too was a prophet and sought the salvation of the people? Did not all other prophets and did not all the priests, the spiritual guides of the people, seek the same? As we are told now, they were not all seeking the same end and going to the same place. The following declarations and many similar ones in the book of Jeremiah shows why this was done. A wonderful and horrible thing has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and that is at their hands. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. Well, we're going to pause there in our reading and pick up there tomorrow when we come back to the school. If you have a chance, come by the meeting house at Rockcliff and worship with us. On Wednesday evenings, we're hosting community heart-to-heart Bible studies, and you are welcome there.